This is People First Radio On Demand, podcasts, streaming, and MP3 downloads, available when you want to listen at chly.ca and at the People First Radio website.
CHLY 101.7 FM, Vancouver Island. On the web, www.chly.ca.
Canada is not meeting the real needs of homeless youth by treating them as adults and expecting shelter care to solve the problem. This according to a report issued earlier this year by the Canadian Homelessness Research Network. Coming of Age, Reimagining the Response to Youth Homelessness in Canada, examines Canada's responses to youth homelessness and how Canada is lagging behind by creating homelessness junior services. Stephen Gates is director of the Canadian Observatory on Homelessness. He's a professor at York University in Toronto. People First Radio's Nancy McInnes spoke with Professor Gates in early 2014 about the particular challenges faced by homeless youth. Here's that interview.
You were interviewed on People First Radio 2 years ago. At that time, you were talking about adult homelessness and the advantages of housing first as a strategy to deal with homelessness. How did you make the shift to looking at youth homelessness?
Well, I'd always been working on youth homelessness at the same time. I used to work with homeless youth in Toronto in the 1990s. And so as part of the same efforts to understand what works and what's an effective solution to homelessness more broadly, I also had a real interest in looking at what we could do differently around addressing youth homelessness. Mm-hmm. So that was a culmination of several years of looking around the world at innovative approaches.
So you claim that youth homelessness is different in character from adult homelessness and requires different remedies. What makes the difference and how does that affect the best practice solutions?
Youth homelessness is different than adult homelessness, and often we just take the things that work for adult homelessness and change the age mandate and call it homelessness junior kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Youth homelessness is different. It's different in the causes, like what leads young people to become homeless. It's different in terms of what happens when young people are on the streets, and it's different in terms of what's going to work. And if I can put it simply, we have to start with the understanding that we're dealing with young people who, first and foremost, many of whom are going through important developmental changes, whether it's cognitive, physical, social, behavioral, you know. Just as this matters when we think about education for youth or youth that are housed, it also matters for homeless youth. The second key difference I think that we should really focus on is that most young people who become homeless have left situations where they were in the care of caregivers. So they don't leave home with experience of taking care of their own place, paying the rent, dealing with landlords, dealing with banks, you know, making their own medical appointments, getting a job, that kind of thing. All those things that you and I as adults learn gradually over time, over years, suddenly when you're young and homeless, there's this expectation that you know how to do all that stuff. And that's really unfair, right? So if we focus on developing a response to youth homelessness that's just about getting them independent, get them a job, and get them moving on, that's a real problem, right? We need to mm-hmm. think about it differently. We mm-hmm. need to, what I would do is start with what we think any young person needs. And so whether it's your children or mine or anybody else, and young people need things we know really well. They need adult support and mentorship. They need the chance to learn and mature and take on responsibilities. They need the chance to make mistakes and learn from them. They need a good education because it matters more in Canada now than it has at any time in history. They need the time to move into adulthood. Did you know, for instance, in the last census in Canada, the percentage of young people between 20 and 29 in Canada who live with their parents is over 42%, right? That's almost half of the population. And the reason they're staying at home is because credentials matter more now, so you got to stay in school longer. The ability to get a well-paying job at 16 or 17 is pretty much gone. It's part-time minimum wage work is mostly what young people can get. And the cost of housing is really high. So people stay home longer whether they want to or not. You know, you can't just move out. If you're young and homeless, you're at a real disadvantage because you likely have dropped out of school and you don't have those kind of supports. So we need to model a response that really kind of mimics what we would want any young person to have. And we're not doing that in enough communities.
I guess the other aspect of this, which you're quite familiar with, is in BC, we've been talking about what happens to our young people in care when they reach the age of 19, and they're kind of turfed out without much in the way of adult support.
That's really, really key, and it's connected to what I was just talking about. Many of our institutional responses for young people generally are based on what life was like in the 1950s, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you could leave at 19 and go get that job, that well-paying job, and, you know, rent a place. And so all across Canada, child protection laws and practices need to be upgraded and updated. And it isn't just trying to pull in something else that's unrelated, because the research on youth homelessness shows pretty convincingly that between 40 and 50% of all young people who wind up on the streets were in the care of child protection services at one time or another. So something's going wrong with that transition.
Mm-hmm.
And so, again, if we expect that at 19 we wash our hands of you, off you go, in a context where young people don't have the education or the supports, it shouldn't be a surprise that many are going to wind up homeless. We need to update it, ensure that young people get the right kind of care, and that they get support for a lot longer. So many jurisdictions are looking at raising the age at which the state is responsible as the parent to 24 years old, ensuring that there's more support around people going to university or school, more transitional planning and support so that when young people leave, they continue to get some kind of support and assistance, you know, and the ability for people to opt back into care. Many of us know the situation where their child is 20, 21, 22, moves out, and then has to move back home because of things that happen. They're finished school or whatever, and they can't get a job. And so young people in care need the same kind of supports.
Mm-hmm.
Again, build it around what young people need today rather than what worked in the 1950s.
Sounds like a really good idea.
Yeah.
I was looking around the homelessness hub, and I watched a video of Leslie McMeekin and Madeline McDonald talking about a Calgary pilot project called Roofs for Youths, which I think is a very unpronounceable title, but I was really impressed about how two large and different programs were able to cooperate to provide a more wraparound service for youths leaving detention. Can you comment on what elements of that project you think made it particularly effective?
Well, what they did is they took an idea called the foyer, which is a transitional housing model that is quite well established in the United Kingdom and Australia, and adapted it for young people who are leaving corrections. The foyer model is one that I really believe in, and we've written about that on the Homeless Hub, and we've created a framework for how it could be applied in Canada. And it draws in many of the elements that I just spoke of that you would want for any young person. They're able to get shelter for multiple years rather than typical transitional housing models that give you like 1 year, which is not much help when you're 18 or 17. They provide you with that adult mentoring. They expect you to get a job if you can to, you know, to contribute, but they really, really want you to get back to school. They work on life skills, on social engagement, on developing hobbies, the kind of things that, again, any young person should have access to. And they build it within this transitional housing model. So what they've done in Calgary there is develop a model that is targeting young people who leave corrections. And that's really important, too, because just as we often don't support young people who leave child protection, a big problem in Canada with our Get Tough on Crime policies is that we also don't support people leaving prison. What that means is that they often get dumped into the homelessness sector. The sad outcome of that is we know very well from research, if you discharge someone from prison into homelessness, their chance of reoffending goes through the roof. So our Get Tough on Crime policies are actually crime production rather than crime reduction policies in many cases. The foyer approach that they're adopting in Calgary is a really good innovation that shows how we should be addressing these problems.
Sounded like one advantage they have in Calgary over some other places is more availability of paid work for young people.
Yeah, the context in Calgary is somewhat different, right? Those higher paying jobs are available for a lot of young people, but in places where the economy is tougher, we still have to think of you know, what works for any young person in Nanaimo or in Saskatoon or in Winnipeg or Timmins or wherever you are, right? And build those models of support and those foyer kind of models of transitional housing or housing first even for young people that allow them to move into adulthood in that safe and planned way rather than rushing them to independence where they're at risk of, you know, failing.
I also like the model that they're using in the UK of having effectively safe beds in neighborhoods where young people can go for a short stay.
I think that's a fantastic idea. It's called host homes, and I believe that there's an example of that being used in Victoria, run by the Boys and Girls Club. And what it involves is, it's a really good community idea. It involves working with people who have an extra bedroom. It could be a single person or two adults or a family. And if they've got that extra bedroom, when a bad thing happens and a young person has a falling out with their parents and is either asked to leave or they run away, rather than them having to go to a homeless shelter or sleep under a bridge or leave town, they're able to stay in place. They're able to stay in the community. Because this is really important that young people, you know, or most young people have natural supports outside of their family. There's teachers, there's community members, friends, neighbors, that kind of thing. We want to be able to draw on that kind of support. And so this host home model, what happens is a young person, once they are identified as being homeless, they're placed in this home. The adults give them some support, but also give them space if they want. And then there's case management where a person will go in and find out what went wrong, find out what's needed, work with the young person from the young person's perspective, and either help them move back home with support for the family, or if that's not possible because there's abuse or some other condition, help them move into housing.
Mm-hmm.
And doing that, it's considered a form of shelter diversion. Doing that helps, again, that young person stay connected with the community, but also importantly, sometimes just provides a cooling off. Because most young people experience some kind of family conflict, and parents, you know, harsh words may be said one way or the other, and sometimes people just need to cool off, and then we get the solutions going, and there might be family mediation or something to help the young person move back home.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a wonderful model that I think can be adapted to a community of any size and is a way of really engaging the community and helping young people and their families who are in trouble.
So we just have a moment left in our conversation. Is there anything else you'd like to add?
I'd just sum up by saying this. In our coming of age report, which you can get on the Homeless Hub, it's free. What we've done is gathered together the research on what to do about youth homelessness. And we're in a really different stage right now than we were 5 years ago. The good news is I think we really know what to do. The good ideas are already out there that we can adapt and modify and apply in different contexts across Canada. So now we have to take that knowledge, get the commitment, get different levels of government on board, and start to do things differently. As I get older, it no longer seems reasonable that we should let any young person be mired in homelessness for more than a couple of weeks. We can do better in a way that's respectful and built around the needs of young people.
Thank you for joining us. It was much appreciated.
Thank you for having me.
Stephen Gates is a professor in the Faculty of Education at York University. He's also the director of the Canadian Observatory on Homelessness and the online Homeless Hub. Homeless Hub is the first comprehensive and cross-disciplinary web-based clearinghouse of homelessness research in the world. You can find them online at homelesshub.ca.
This is a People First Radio podcast. People First Radio is an initiative of Columbian Centre Society in partnership with Radio Malaspina Society and produced at CHLY Community Radio in Nanaimo, British Columbia. The opinions expressed in this interview do not necessarily reflect the opinions of the partnering organizations. Visit us online. Just Google People First Radio to find our webpage.